tomorrow can be. God bless you this morning. Lord Jesus, we're here this morning because you've called us here. Lord, you have a message that you want to get across to us. Lord Jesus, we've come, we've created an atmosphere that you could feel welcome. Lord Jesus, I just ask now that you would come and let the word have the effect you promised it would. It would not return to you void, but it would have the effect that you wanted this morning. Lord, I'm expecting so much. You said we get what we expect, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, won't you come and just answer the prayers that have been prayed and confirm the word that you've given, Lord, and have the effect this morning that you intend to have. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you're turning your Bibles to Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation, the third chapter. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You may be seated this morning. We're going to continue with the thought of an uncomfortable Christ, a Christ that doesn't let us sit around in a lukewarm Laodicean muck, a Christ that cares enough to chasten us, a Christ that cares enough to rebuke us and say, hey, you got a problem here. There's something wrong in your life. I want to save you. I want to put you in the rapture, but you got to go ahead and come on my way. Brother Paul, one time he said, if you continue in the word, or Jesus, I'm sorry, he said, you are believers, but he said, if you continue in the word, then you are my children indeed. Then you are children indeed, but it's those who will continue to go. And the denominational spirit, it gets to a place where God deals with them, and they come up to a certain place and say, well, I think I've got everything I need. This is all I need. And they put a period right there, and he said, that's where they die. And that's what happens with message believers. We get to a place where we say, well, I'm being blessed. God has brought me this far. I'm sanctified. I've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got all I want, all I need. I'm just waiting here for the rapture now. And we actually put a period, not intentionally, but we put a period after our experience, after our walk with God, and say, well, I'm ready to go now. And they die. And God's saying, I am not going to have that happen to you. I am not going to let you relax. I am not going to let you sit here and die and go in tribulation. I am going to take you through because you're mine. And the devil's spirit is here and saying, oh, no, you're not. They're going to sit here and be all lukewarm and be all tore up and have chaos and all this, and I'm going to run these people's lives. And God is telling you this morning, oh, no, he's not. I sat in a church service last night. Let me just say this. If Brother David would have got up there last night and said what he said last night, they would have come unglued. Brother Ron Spencer preached. I don't know if you know him or not. Amazing brother. A couple of times he said, I'm going to get sharp. It's going to get hard. And he brought a strong rebuke. He said, you need to get over yourselves. When I say it, it gets all quiet. When he said it, that place came unglued. What's the problem? Had a brother get up. He gave a 45-minute talk on missions around the world and how the different places in Ethiopia and Asia and Italy and all these different places where God is doing such mighty works. And people are being born again, they're being baptized, and the churches are growing and they're growing. And I was sitting there thinking, what's going on in Dixon? What's happening here? I'll tell you one thing I believe. I believe there's people around here who are ordained to come to this church. But God won't bring them here yet. Because he doesn't want them to get scarred with all the crap that goes on around here. That's what I believe. You know why I believe that? Because just a minute ago I was walking through the parking lot and that's what God told me. Brother Phil, why do you have to preach this way? I preached last Sunday why I had to preach this way. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know what I want to do? all I had to do is just, let's just go on. Let's just forget all this and just go on. Can we do that? Let's just go forward. Let's just forget all this. Compromise just a little. Just let that thing sit there and just be peaceful, Phil. You don't have to make everyone tore up every time you preach. You don't know how much I want to do that. With that being said, I am very excited about this morning. Let me tell you why. Because what God has me to preach is so exciting. This is so good. I'm going to just jump clear to the end right now. You know what he's telling you this morning? You can still be born again. It's not too late. You have not gone too far. There is still mercy. And the whole point of this message this morning is for you people who are in here who are not born again, God is telling you, you can be born again this morning. Now, it's going to get uncomfortable to get to that point. But what do you expect? You want a nice, soft, easy, we're all just believers. Let's all be whatever. Vanilla mush. I'll give you some addresses to church where you can sit in that kind of atmosphere. Turn to Genesis 4. Genesis 4:3, and it says, "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Brother and sister, what we want to talk about this morning is sacrifice and obedience. It was time for church. And Cain built a church, and Abel built a church, and they both worshiped. And God accepted Abel's worship in his church, and he said, "Cain, I don't have nothing. I'm not accepting your religion. Not going to accept your religion." And what happened? Cain got mad. And God came and spoke to Cain and said, "Listen, just obey. Do what Abel's doing, in obedience, and I'll accept you." And Cain's attitude was, "Well, this is the way I'm going to serve you. This is what I'm going to do, because I am not about to worship." Look at that. Look how beautiful my church is. Look how well we worship. Look how we're anointed. Look at the great preaching we have. Look at all this stuff. You think I want to go and do that? Look at him. He's rolling around on the ground. He's got that sheep, got blood all over him. He's nasty looking. He got murdered a little lamb. Look at the way you preach. Look at the way he preaches. Look at you up there spitting and stewing and stomping around. Why do you have to preach that way? Why don't you just be nice and calm and be a little more dignified? Why do you have to come and get on my sins? Why do you have to do all this stuff? Why do you have to make us uncomfortable? I don't want to worship that way. So I'm going to worship the way I want to. And I'm not about to give in. That's Cain's attitude. And when the word comes, Cain gets mad. I just read it from the Bible. You say, "Oh, Brother Phil, you calling me Cain?" I ain't calling you anything. I'm giving you the characteristics of Cain. You identify yourself. Let me tell you this. Every one of us have been mad at the word before. Every one of us have got upset and acted like Cain. But you don't have to stay that way. You can be free from that. It's called pride. You can let that thing go. You do not have to be Cain. If you are Cain, you choose to be. Let's see what happened. What was going on here? Turn to Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. For Samuel 15:22. We know this story where Saul was told to go and kill all the Amalekites, destroy the whole thing, all the animals, every person, man, woman, and child, and the king and everything. And he went and kept a whole bunch of the really nice sheep and goats and cattle, whatever it was. And Samuel came up and Saul said, "Hey, I've done everything the Lord told me to do." He said, "Well, then how come I hear all these sheep bleeding over here?" How many people come to church and say, "I'm a Christian, I've been born again, I'm doing all the things, and what's all this worldly stuff attached to you still? Why do you still have all this attitude? Why do you still have this problem? Why are you still not getting along with that person? What's going on? Why do I hear all this sheep bleeding if you've obeyed the Lord?" And he told him, "Well, I've done it to, you know, we're going to sacrifice. It was the people." They're blaming everybody else instead of admitting it was my fault. Boy, we could stay on that a while, couldn't we? When we have a problem and, you know, people want to come to the back room, you know, for counseling, whatever, there's an issue. And the first thing everybody does is they point at somebody else. I have yet to see someone walk back there and say, "You know what, this is all my fault," without being passive aggressive about it. "Oh yeah, this is all my fault." Why don't we just admit, "This is my problem. If I don't get along with Brother Paul, that is my problem." It's true. It don't matter if I can't stand to be around him. Maybe I don't like Brother Paul. Maybe he just grates against me. And if I can't get along with him, that's my problem. It's true. Because I work with people that I don't like very well, and I still get along with them. And now a brother in church, a sister in church, and I just don't like her. Who cares if you like them or not? They are a sister or brother in Christ. Treat them like one. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs." Think about it. Cain and Abel. Cain said, "Look at how I'm sacrificing. I brought you my very best. I have worked. I have toiled. I have built a great church. I have tried to live a message life. I've done all I can. Look at my great sacrifice. Surely you accept this." And God said, "I don't want nothing to do with that. You're not obedient." Because, see, the revelation was it was blood. And Abel had that revelation. Cain didn't. But Cain, when he saw it, all he had to do was say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Now I understand it was blood. Let me do that." And he said, "No." He got mad at God. He lied to God. He said, "No." Later on, he did, after he killed Abel. He said, "No, I am not going to worship that way. This is my religion." And here's what it comes to. God deals with you, and he calls you to be born again, and you come up, and he deals with, and you see your life changing, and he's moving, and that word is coming from here, and it's ready to drop down in your soul, and right here, it hits something solid and stops. Your idol, that one thing that you won't give up. He says, "Do what I told you to do." And we say, "No, I can't go that far." And here's what it is. We're walking along. Start up here. God justifies us. Praise God. God sanctifies us. Praise God. He said, "Now, to get the born again, I need you to do this." And poof! We stop cold. We come up to the altar to be prayed for. And, "Pray for me, Brother Jerry. Pray for me, Brother Phil." Okay, we pray for. But you won't go farther because that idol is sitting right there and you're refusing to give it. So this is what we do. Hey, praise God. Look at what I'm doing. I'm still a message believer. Look at me going forward. Look at me, look at what I'm doing for the church. Look, I can sing. I can do this for the church. I can do that. Look at this. Look at this. Oh, I can go this way too. Look at this. You will not go one inch further with God until you obey. God has spoke to you.
and told you exactly what he wants you to do. And some of you are sitting here and you have refused to do it. And I've seen it come over the pulpit from Brother Jerry preaching, from me preaching, back there in the back room. And I've seen it right up here when people come up and God speaking directly to you and say, this is what you need to do. And you have refused to do it. You will not go a step forward. You will go sideways. You will be blessed over here. You'll be a Christian here. And you go all the way a different way. But you will not go a step forward until you obey the voice of God. Just to jump on what Brother David said, since he was preaching my sermon this morning, as he usually does. Let me tell you what. You come up here, and you get to the point you're sanctified, and you're ready to go forward, but you refuse to go forward, and you don't get that house filled. You will take seven demons worse than the ones you have. And brother and sister, they are religious demons, and they make you think you're okay. And if you're not sanctified, you go back out, you will take so many worse demons, and you're going to be a drug addict and everything else. That's just the word. I'm telling you what you already know. Obedience. Do what he tells you to do so you can be born again. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're over the age of 15 and you haven't been born again, that's the reason why you're not obeying the word. Say, yes, I am. I wear my hair right and I try to dress right and I try to do these things. That's not what we're talking about. No, it's the thing that God spoke to you directly and told you, do this. That's the thing. Oh, we can all try and live a holy life. And that's why we go over here. Look, I'm overcoming this. And look, I'm overcoming this. And look, oh, I can praise God. And it's wonderful. And everything. And can't do it. Brother, sister, let me tell you something. I'm speaking from experience. I've stood right there for years. I stood right there for years and God said, this is what I want from you. And I could not accept it. No, it was so bad. This is going to sound weird. But when I think about it, I'd find myself, I'd turn my head like this because I could not even physically think looking straight at what God wanted from me. And I'd find myself doing this. It was too horrible what God wanted from me. I said, no, no, no. Got me to a place. He got me to a place, okay, whatever it takes, but I gotta have something more. He said, that was simple. Poof. And I started walking. You know what? Wasn't born again for years after that. Thought I was. Wasn't. That was just one of the many idols he wanted to destroy. The biggest idol that I came up next and stood there for years was my religion. Because I knew how to be born again. Just ask me. I could tell you how. Because it took me 15 years of proving I knew how to be born again. Trying the same thing over and over and over. I should have had my own walkway all the way up here. This is Phil's spot at the altar. This is where he goes to seek the Holy Ghost, time after time after time. The same thing. Oh, by the way, he's insane. God called to come to me one day. He said, all these years of you serving me and being a Christian, I just want you to know I haven't accepted any of it, by the way. Boy, I was standing in Cain's shoes then. What was I going to do? Because I tell you what my old flesh wanted to do. He said, what? Well, forget it then. As much as I've tried. I've prayed for hours after day after all this stuff. But you know what happened? There's something inside of me that said, okay, then what do I need to do? He said, sit down and be quiet and quit trying. But what am I supposed to do? Be quiet, sit down, and quit trying. But see that old demon, that old legalistic demon in there? Do something. Feel you got to do something. You're going to go to hell. You better show God. You better. No, sit down and be quiet and quit trying. Boy, I tell you what. You think, well, you're just sitting there doing nothing. That's not a battle. Try it one time. Try it one time and tell me that's not a battle. You know what I got from it? Eternal life. So what we do, when God asks us to do something, this is human nature, is we get right up to that thing and we say, let me sacrifice instead. Brother David jokes all the time, I mow the grass, I know I'm going to make it. The grass of the church, right? Brother Todd, we were talking last Sunday, he said something about, I just pay for all the internet and all that. And Brother David said, well, you're going to make it for sure. It's a joke, but the reason it's funny is because so many people, that's the approach we have. Well, if I'm good, if I do good to the bride and I help this person and I do that and I have all these good works, surely I'm earning my way into heaven. If I try hard enough, look at all the sacrifices I'm making. I'm going to give extra money in the offering. Surely that'll get me there. Offering, sacrifice. And God said, yeah, but you haven't did what I asked you to do. Can we talk about Brother Branham for a minute? Brother Branham, God said, Brother Branham, I want you to go and preach to those Pentecostals. Brother Branham's mother-in-law said, you're not taking my daughter down to that trash. To keep peace in the family, Brother Branham compromised. He said, okay, I won't go down there. I'll still preach. I'm still going to go day and night. I'm still going to do all this. I'm just not going to do what God told me to do. Because I don't want to have to stir up problems in the family. My wife will be all tore up. My mother-in-law is going to hate me. And we're going to be down there with all those people anyways. So, I don't know how long, maybe a couple years later, Brother Branham's wife dies. His kid is laying there dying, suffering horribly, suffering so bad she's going cross-eyed. Can you imagine what they've done to a heart of a daddy? And Brother Branham's praying, said, tell me what I've done wrong. What's going on? What's wrong? He didn't even know at that moment. God pulled a black sheet down and said, I'm not going to listen to your prayer. And Satan came up to Brother Branham and said this. He said, after all you've done, look at that. You have gone day and night. You've preached all night. You've been so tired you couldn't even get to bed. You didn't take your clothes off. You just work. You get up the next morning and go again. You work and then you're preaching at night. You're going and praying for the sick. Look at all you've done for God. And now this is how he treats you. Did he have a legitimate argument or what? Look how much I've sacrificed. But what had he not done? He had not obeyed. And this is what God said, I'm going to take your daughter and your wife because of your disobedience. That's how God looks at it. What a lesson. Look, in my carnal mind, I say, God, that was so rough. Did it have to be that bad? Yeah, because of all those souls who were not saved because he didn't go. He was teaching that prophet, you better do what I tell you to do. Obedience. Isn't that amazing? Well, Brother Branham didn't do that again. Yes, he did. Brother Branham was in Africa. And there's going on, a preaching tour, whatever, missionary work. And God said, now the brothers want you to go to a certain town tomorrow. He said, do not go with them. Brother Branham said, okay. Not a big deal to him. They came back the next morning. He said, let's go, Brother Branham. He hadn't even packed his bags. He said, no, I'm not going. God told me not to go. They said, oh, yes, you are. He said, I'm just to save time, I'm just giving you the short version. He said, if you ever want to get in trouble, get around ministers. They'll get you in trouble. Because they all had their own agenda. They all had their own thought. They insisted. They said, we've already paid for it. We've done all this. You have to go. No, I can't. Brother, God told me. No, brother, you have to go. I tell you what, let's pray about it. Let's go and pray about it tonight and see what God says. Remember when a prophet did that before? I want to go down and kiss and curse the Israelites. He said, don't go. He come back and prayed again. Now listen, God. He said, okay, go ahead. We call him a false prophet. Balaam. I'm not calling Brother Branham a false prophet, but he did the same thing. He said, okay, we'll pray about it. He went back. He's praying. He's about 2 or 3 in the morning. God came to him. He said, okay, go with him. but you're going to pay. And Brother Branham told him, he said, we're going, but we're not going in God's perfect will. We are going in permissive will. This is not God's will for us to go, but I'll go with you. Brother Branham said, they got done. He said he got an amoeba. It's a parasite, I think. Had it for a long, almost killed him. He suffered horribly because God said, don't go. And he said, God, are you sure? You have another opinion on this? All the brothers want me to go and to keep peace, to keep order, so that he didn't just totally make everyone angry with him. He said, God, I don't really want to withstand all these brothers. He said, go. You walk in God's permissive will, you will pay. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching, because I'm not going to walk in God's permissive will and just say something to make you feel good. I'm going to say something that God can use to get you born again this morning. If you care. Will you obey? You say, well, Brother Phil, I don't know that God ever spoke anything to me to do something that I'm not doing that I'm supposed to obey. You're in a bad way then, aren't you? God never spoke to you to tell you something. You're sitting here not born again and you don't know anything God told you to do that you haven't done. Because I know things God has told some of you to do that you haven't done. You can ask me after service unless you want me to say it from the pulpit. I'm not going to. Just a minute ago, I read a quote. Moses at the burning bush, he met God, right? And after that, he was a changed person. He became perseverant. He said he had his wife on a mule and the baby on her hip, and he had his staff in his hand. He's walking down the road, the whiskers blowing in the wind, laughing and praising God. I just love that. Because sometimes when God gets to doing something, you get so happy. And even when it's not like, ha ha, but you're laughing. You're like, this is awesome. This is wonderful. I hope you're having a good time this morning as I am, because I'm having a really good time. Because I know I'm walking right in God's perfect will. I'm going down to take over. Sir, that's what we're doing this morning. Come along. Let's drive these devils out of here, folks. Let this become a powerhouse instead of a gloom and doom house. Why not? It's our inheritance. It's our privilege. God wants us to be happy. Let's come in the door dancing instead of dragging. You can. Brother Branham says this. He said, watch. Talking about Moses. He had to obey it word by word. Take off your shoes, Moses. The ground whereon you stand is holy. What if Moses said, well, now, Lord, I just had some schooling. Honor is take off your hat, so I'll take off my hat. That would never worked. When God said shoes, he meant shoes. When God tells you to do something, that's what he wants you to do. I don't care how simple, how hard, how complicated, do what God asks you to do. And if you do, he'll take you the next step forward. And until you do, you're not going any further with God. You can be as sincere as you want. I was sincere for years and praying and praying and praying, trying to be born again. But I would not do what he told me to do, which was trust me. I didn't trust him. You know why? I had learned that daddies were mean. I learned that maybe I'll give it to you, maybe I won't, but you sure don't deserve it. I learned they dangle things in front of you and then pull it back when you say, can I have that? I didn't trust God because I thought that's what God was. If God this morning is telling you that you can be born again this morning, he's not just joking. He's not just dangling something that I go for it. You get, go for it, but you, yeah, it's just beyond your reach. Yeah, I try it again. Keep trying. That ain't my father.
He tells you something to believe it so he can give it to you. When God said born again, he meant born again. He don't mean a handshake or repeat a creed. You're not going to make it in the rapture without being born again, folks. It don't matter how much you sacrifice, how good you live, how faithful you are, what great attitude you have. If you're not born again, you are not going in the rapture. There's a really good chance if you're not born again, you're not going to heaven at all. Because you don't have the excuse other people have. When you read what Brother Branham said about how people get to be foolish virgins, none of us fit that. I did this for the church. I did this for the body of Christ, and disrespect certain ones of them? Disrespect the ministry? You can't, I respect this part of the body, but not that part of the body. You can't do that, folks. Come on. He didn't mean a handshake or repeat a creed. Everybody's scared of that new birth. That's the problem. Because Satan says, if you give up, this is what's going to happen. If you give up, you're going to lose this, you're going to lose that. This is going to happen, that's going to happen. And he's telling you the truth. You're right. You are going to lose this, and you're going to lose that, and you're going to lose that, and you're going to lose that, and you're going to quit doing that, you're going to quit doing that. And you know what you get out of it? Eternal life. Eternal life. I know what it is to be a miserable halfway Christian, folks, and I know what it is to be born again. I can guarantee you, you will never be sorry that you surrendered. You will never get to a point and say, well, man, I wish I wouldn't have done this after all. Eternal life ain't all that it's cracked up to be. I'd rather be out there smoking my brains off or drinking or doing fornicating, whatever it is that I prefer doing. You will not do that because you know what it is to have peace. Peace that I am going to heaven. Compare that to something. What's the best Satan can offer you? Well, I get along well with my wife. Wonderful. So you both go to hell. Enjoy it. Your choice. The devil substitutes a handshake for it. Some kind of a psychic affair that you would make you acknowledge, yes, I'm born again. You know what kind of psychic affair? You come up here and you get anointing and you get something happen to you and you think, well, I'm born again now because I have an experience. I'm born again now. You know how you know if you're born again or not? It's revealed to you. That means God tells you. God reveals it to you however he does it. He might not come down and say, now, Sister Susie, you're born again. He probably won't say it that way. But he's going to prove to her through her life that, yes, I know I'm born again. Look what Christ living through me. It happened to you. You say you're born of the Spirit of God and deny one word of the Bible? It shows you're not. Deny one word. Well, I believe the whole message is true. Ain't what he's talking about. I believe the Bible is true. So does Satan. Deny one word. When God speaks to you and you reject it, because it hurts your feelings. That's a denying one word. Now, you might wrestle with it for a minute. But ultimately, you're going to say, yeah, but it's true anyway, so I might as well go ahead and accept it now. Because if I don't now, I'm going to have to do it later, and it's going to get harder and harder the more I go. So take it easy on yourself. Just go ahead and accept it now. You try to place it back on something else. That shows it wasn't the Holy Spirit, because he'd never deny his own word. Try and place it back on something. When Brother Branham was here, I would believe it was Brother Branham. If Brother Branham was up there speaking like you're doing, I'd accept it. Don't recognize the voice of God. Well, you might recognize it, but you don't like who it's coming through. That's disrespectful to God, by the way. You say, well, my church teaches that. You're saying, I think it should be done this way. I think you should handle it this way. I think you should preach this. I think Brother Jerry should do this. Shows you're not. You're born of the church and not of God. This is God, His Word. You're born of the church. So many people have a church birth. They're birthed into the church, and this is the kind of church I want to go to because this is where I'm comfortable. So I want this kind of a church. It's a church birth. I'm not going to sit there and listen to that kind of preaching. You have a church birth. Here he is, Moses, the anointed. Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Well, wouldn't my hat do just as well? He said shoes. That's what he meant with shoes. God says born again, it means born again. He's not telling you this morning to say, well, you need to be born again, and then turn around and say, well, you can't be. He's telling you this so that you will obey what he said so he can give you the new birth because he wants to save you. He does not want to pour his wrath out on you on judgment day. Brother and sister, when Christ was on the cross, God poured his wrath, his fierce judgment on him so that he would not have to pour it on me and you. That's why he was hanging there, because sin is so horrible in God's eyes that he cannot abide to be in the presence of sin. So he said, I am going to pour all my anger, all my wrath, all my fierce judgment on Jesus Christ. He bore it for you. He bore that for you so that on judgment day, he would not have to do it then. You're free. Say, God, I've done so many things. He said, you're free to go. Can you imagine you go up in front of the judge and you have this whole long line of illegal activity, sin or whatever, and all these things you've done and crimes you committed. You stand up before him. He said, I'm so guilty. He said, no, you're free to go.
Hallelujah.
But what about all the stuff I've done? No. See that man over there? I'm going to take it out on him. I took it out on him. My fierce anger got what you've done. I've already dispelled it on him. But now if you don't accept that, you stand by. Because I'm going to pour out wrath on you for rejecting my grace and mercy to you. Why did you reject it? Because you listened to a liar. And you believed him over me. He said, you can't have it, or you trying hard, or do it this way, or do it that way. And I stood here and told you, you're doing it wrong. Why don't you obey me? What's the problem? He said, they're afraid of the new birth. You know, any birth is a mess. I don't care what it is. If it's in a pig pen or pink decorated hospital, it's a mess, and so is the new birth. You know what makes it a mess? One thing is, your friends ain't going to like you anymore. Your family is not going to like you anymore. Some of them are going to love you. You go, oh, God, thank you, God. Look at this. They're finally born again. Other family's going to say, well, now aren't you just better than us? Who do you think you are? You don't need to say that. You don't want to act that way. It's a mess. And you're going to look at these idols that have been in the way, and you're going to say, this needs to go, and you burst through. But, you know, after you're born again, you've got a lot of things to overcome. Growing up. Hard to do. The battle just starts. It'll make you do things you didn't think you would. Oh, man. It'll straighten you up. Isn't it amazing how people, they try to live good enough, they try to straighten up so God will give them the Holy Ghost. You got it backwards. Believe. He gives you the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost straightens you up. It's an overcomer.
Walking in faith is the most light place in the world. You can dance. You feel so lighthearted. In the midst of your sorrow. I know, I've been driving down the road. Years ago, I look back and they say, Phil, what? You're such an idiot. Because I'd be driving down the road and I get to a place, God, I can't deal with this. You don't have to take this. And you know what? He would. And the burdens would just fall away. And I'd be like, oh, it's wonderful. I put my burden on God's shoulder and I'm just happy. Now I need to pray and get the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to try harder. And I'd take that nasty thing right back on me. I look back and say, why didn't you stay in that light place? Because I didn't trust him. I didn't believe what he was telling me. He said, I died to save you. Let me save you. I'm trying, God. If you have a heavy burden on your spirit this morning and you're all torn about something, you're not walking in a light place. You're not walking in faith. You say, well, people with Holy Ghost, they have burdens. Of course you have burdens. But you put it on God's shoulder and you can be happy. God created you to be happy. You can put that burden on him. And in the midst of sorrow, you can have a light place. Brother Phil, you're just speaking magic and wishful thinking. No, I'm speaking experience. I know what I'm talking about. He said, before you ever get right, you have to come through that mess. That's right. Before a seed can be born, it has to die and rot. That's the matter with people today. They don't want to die and rot out to the world so they can be born again of the Holy Spirit. They're afraid of the new birth. They're afraid. Fear. It says it makes them do things they don't want to do. It takes the popularity out of them. It takes the starch out of them. He said, I'm glad there's an inoculation tonight that'll take it out of you, brother. It'll take the world out. There's something that can inoculate you from the world and take that away. He said, well, I just can't quit doing that. I can't quit doing that. Just take Christ. It'll take it out of you. Get to that point. Let me move along here. He said, He had read the scripture, is there no physician in Gilead? You know, Balm in Gilead, is there no physician there? You know, he read that scripture. He said, it wasn't exactly they didn't have a physician, they did. God was a physician. It wasn't because there wasn't a God in Israel. There was a God. There is no excuse, there is a God in Dixon, Tennessee. There's no excuse, there is a God here. And they had a prophet to consult to find out these things are. There is a ministry here to find out what these things are. He said, but it was a king's own stubborn will. That's exactly the problem. Stubborn will. Stubbornness can be one of the best things you have. Brother Jerry is a stubborn man. He yielded that stubbornness to the Holy Ghost, and he stayed there for 18 or 19 years, bringing us to birth and bringing us to a rapture. But when you yield that stubbornness to your own flesh, your own desire, you have a problem. He says, that's what's the matter in the nation today. It's a people's own stubborn will. Not because we don't have the same God that crossed the Red Sea with the people that fed them 40 years in the wilderness. It's not because we don't have the same God that we had in the beginning. It's the people's own stubborn way. They don't want to bow down. He's preaching the heart because he's saying that's some of your problems this morning. That's why you come in here all tore up because of your own will and you won't surrender that pride. You can be born again. Obey what he said to do and watch him move in your life. They don't want to have to do anything to do with holiness and purity of living the Bible way of living. Oh, Brother Phil, I live a good life. I do the best I can. I'm talking about the purity of believing the word, not some holiness you're putting on. You obey what the Bible said. You obey what God said to you, and you walk in that. That gives you purity. Long hair don't make you pure.
They'd rather belong to a church and put their name on a book and live like the rest of the world than to bow down to the promises and commandments of Almighty God. Do you hear what he said? They just want a nice church to go to, a place where they can be comfortable, where they can call themselves a messianic believer, and we can fellowship with each other, and everyone just getting along fine, but they won't bow down to the promises and commandments of Almighty God.
That's what's the matter today. That's the reason they're going the way they are. People get away from the word. You never be able to get straightened out till we get back on the right path. Wherever you went off the path, you had to go back there to get on. Because if you're walking forward and you stopped here and you start going sideways, to get back with God, you had to go all the way back to where you started disbelieving. And that's what that was. The reason you wouldn't keep going was your unbelief. That's why it's horrible. That's the sin. If I give up this idol, if I give up my whatever it is, I'm going to be so miserable. I have no other comfort. I don't have nothing to live for. If I give this up, people, what will they think about me? My reputation will be ruined. But what about this person? What are they? They're going to hate me. This person's going to reject me. I'm going to be all by myself. You believe that lie, and you stand there and refuse to give it up. Oh, hallelujah. I can tell you, step across that line and see if you have a friend in Jesus or not. See how lonely you are then. Oh. Set yourself free. Do you see what sin, the unbelief, is so horrible? Why do you go chasing the things of the world? Because you don't believe God's going to satisfy you. He says, after all I've done, you know my spirit. You've been anointed. You know I've spoke to you. You've been in the presence of the all God Almighty. And you know he's done this in this person's life. He's done that in that person's life. He brought that into a new birth. He's healed out. And he's dealt with you. And he's cleaned your life. He's done all this stuff. And yet you think that I can't take care of that last little thing. That last little thing that you still love more than you love me. You know, one day, as in Isaiah says, one day we're going to look on the Satan, look on Lucifer narrowly and look at, is he the one? That's the one who destroyed the nations? Then you're going to look on that spear and say, you're the one who tried to take me to hell? You were the one that I was worshiping? You nasty little devil. Or, if you choose to keep him, then you're going to look and say, you nasty little thing are taking me to hell because I worshiped you instead of Jesus Christ. I believed your lie over what God was telling me. I know why Moses was laughing going down to Egypt. Because this is God setting people free. Amen. Let my people go too. Yes, sir. I hope this is making you happy. God's real true way of living has never been popular. It never will be popular. For the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. You know how many people would look at me at what I'm doing up here and say, that's foolishness, Phil. You don't need to preach that way. You don't need to talk that way. Why don't you just be nice to people? Why don't you just preach a positive gospel? Why do you have to do that? You're being foolish. I'm not ashamed. Let me try again. He said, we find out that the king was stubborn, just something like today. What if a patient went to a doctor, lay down on his steps, he had some kind of a fever that was going to kill him. The doctor came to the door and said, sir, I got the medicine in here. He said, oh, I just ain't. He said, come on in. I'll give you the injection, the inoculation. He said, I don't want your medicine.
Now, you say, now, sir, I can help you if you'll just come in. He said, well, I'm not coming in. And the man lay there on the doctor's steps and die. Die on the doctor's step because he won't accept the inoculation for fever, whatever it was he had. He won't accept the inoculation, and the man dies right on the doctor's step. He said, you can't blame the doctor if he has the medicine and will cure the disease, and the doctor's willing to give it, and it's been provided. And the man sat, come as close as the doctor's doorstep, and sat down there and die. You can't blame the doctor. There is a physician here. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a God here in Dixon. Don't blame God if you go to hell. You can't blame the medicine. He said, well, Brother Phil, I don't believe what you're preaching. I don't think this is the way it should be. Let me tell you what this ministry has provided, has done. It has produced a new birth and various ones around here, including me. The medicine ain't to blame. Medicine will make you sick. See, that's why Brother Branham said people don't want the medicine because it makes them sick. He said, if it don't make you sick, it don't do you any good. He said, you can take that and you can shove it down their mouth and hold your hand over their mouth and they will spit it out between your fingers. But you know, God has the medicine inside of his kingdom that will cure every sin disease there is in the world. Every sin disease in the world, it will cure it. And the people sit right on the church doorstep. Not only that, they sit right in the pews. And die, and are lost, and go to hell because they refuse to accept the doctor's medicine. And the medicine is as simple as obey. But that medicine makes us sick. In fact, it'll kill your old flesh. What a glorious thing. I've heard someone ask me different times. He said, how do you die to yourself? How do you die to yourself? I mean, I'm trying to die to myself. Don't try to die to yourself. Just let the preaching of the word bring you to a place where you have to obey the word and then do that. That'll kill yourself. Let God save you. Quit trying to do it yourself. And the people sit in the church. I'm almost done. Please listen to this. People sit in the church, let me say it quiet so everyone can pay attention, not screaming, and they hear the messages of God and believe them and won't accept it. Sit here and you know it's true, what's being preached, but you don't accept it because you're idle. Unbelief won't let you go forward. Stubborn spirit. Something says, no, if I give that up, I have nothing to live for anymore. That's who I am. That's my identity. Why don't you make your identity Jesus Christ? They wouldn't say, well, no, I don't believe that's right. I've had plenty of people come to me after a service and say, God bless you, Brother Phil. I appreciate that. That was wonderful. I believe that. Their life never changes. You know it's true? Am I lying to you this morning? Have I lied to you in the last couple months I've been preaching? Have I lied? Have I told you something that wasn't true? I know it's hard. That's what the medicine is, folks. Just do what he asks you to do. I can tell you. You don't like the way David gets up and testifies? Why don't you be the one getting up there and making people mad testifying? This is what God done for me. Well, I don't want to do that. It'll make you do things you don't want to do. I don't want to have to preach like this either. But you're going to be born again. They say, I believe it's right, but you won't do it. See, you'll die. Dying in the pews of the church because you won't accept the remedy. They won't see what it does. It takes a little bit of popularity out of people. It kind of beats them up a little bit. This is what your prophet said. It kind of beats them up a little bit. You're not going to be popular with the people you want to be popular with. Got two more quotes, I believe. Five more minutes. So God makes a way for a man, and then man refuses to walk in that way. Then God got a right to ask, why didn't you do it? And that's what he did then. That's what he does now. That's why he'll ask at the judgment. They asked, why? What will you say? I know this is for, mostly for people who need to be born again. I knew that from the beginning. That's why I told you that. But this is for everybody, folks. When God asks you to do something, you don't do it. Why? You know you're going to. Why don't you do it right away? Take it easy on yourself. Because we're all still growing. We're all still growing. Let me tell you what, if no one gets anything out of this message, if no one gets born again, if nothing else, there's one person who heard the voice of God and they're growing from it. You know who that is? That's me. And if no one else gets a thing from it, I did. He's going to ask you why. And you're going to see your life played out there. And you're going to see the words that was preached to you over and over and telling you and encouraging you and begging you and say, why? Why didn't you let that nasty spirit of unbelief be preached off of you? Why didn't you let that nasty spirit of whatever it is, of doubt and fear, why didn't you let that thing go? Why didn't you let the Holy Spirit drive that from you? And you did, but you took it back on, and it did, and you took it back on you. Why didn't you let that thing go? Why did you love that more than me? Why didn't you walk in faith so I could keep you clean, so I could fill you with my spirit? Why didn't you walk in faith? And you just church members, if there's anyone here who's just a church member, you're not born again, you're just a church member, and you feel there's something deeper in your heart, you will be a miserable wretch until you accept that Christ like that. Let me tell you something. That is the most merciful words he could have said. That is God's mercy to make you a miserable wretch. That just makes me happy. You've seen the real, genuine Holy Spirit working in people. You have. Whether you recognize it or not, you've seen it. You'll be miserable until it comes to you. So how long do you want your miserable misery to last? You must obey. It's God calling you. Give yourself up. Come out from behind the bushes. What are those bushes? Adam hiding from God because he knew he was a sinner, and he come out with his apron on of leaves. He had, look how good I'm living, God. Look how good. See, I'm covering my sin. Ain't I a good guy, God? Come out from behind the bushes and stand there naked in front of him and say, God, I'm a miserable wretch. Don't you do that. It's already settled. God made his way. You don't have to wonder how you're going to happen. God made the way. It's through the blood. And that blood has never lost its power. And that blood will never lose its power. Oh, my. That gut, that blood is still effective today. That blood will still wash away your sins. That blood will still make you stand pure and holy before God. And that nasty old vessel you're living in. Talk about God's grace and mercy. Here in this fallen state, and God looks at me and says, you're pure and holy. You're free to go. Dance. Praise God. I am holy. I am who he said I am. Now, Satan's going to say, well, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you were really a believer, you wouldn't do this and you wouldn't do that and you wouldn't do that and you wouldn't do that. But you've learned to say, Satan, I recognize your voice. You're a liar. Let me tell you about your ending. Well, you're not going to the rapture. Well, neither are you. What are you arguing with him for? Well, I don't think you're born again. Does anyone care what Satan thinks if I'm born again? Anybody, please. Raise your hand if you care what Satan thinks about you. Then why do we, Brother Phil, Satan's been just dogging me. That's his job. He's not a millennial. He don't walk off the work, off the job when it gets hard. He sticks to it. He's been doing it for years, and he knows your weakness, and he's going to come and just attack that and attack that and attack that. He's going to do all he can so that this spirit, this freedom that the Holy Spirit has doing right now through the preaching of the word and getting you driving all that down fear away, he's sitting right there waiting as soon as he can to jump back on you. You know why? Because he's done it before. How many times? How many times have you walked out of here believing? By Thursday, you can't even get to church. But you don't have to live that kind of way. You can walk in faith and do what God asks you to do. You know, the simplest thing that God's asking you to do that some of you don't do is just come to church whenever the doors are open. And it's so hard to do. Why does Satan fight you so hard? Why does Satan fight you so hard to keep you out of church or come to church in a bad attitude? Because he understands how dangerous this is to his kingdom. He hates you sitting here being set free. So the way you are now, think about this. What if you came to church in that same frame of mind you are Thursday night, you came to church just like you are now? Where would you be by the time service was over? Think about it. Instead of coming here and getting up to here, and then by Thursday back down, and next Sunday you're even lower. What if you came here, and by Thursday you're here, and so you go up here, and then next Sunday you go back up here, and brother and sister, pretty soon you're born again, you're dancing the aisles every time you can. Open the church doors, I can't wait to get in. You can have that. We can be a powerhouse for God right here in Dixon, Tennessee. And the whole world knows about your love and your commitment and your obedience to God. You hear about that church in Dixon? Yeah. A bunch of fanatics. And I'm not talking about just some Pentecostal put on, let's shout and dance and scream. That is not what I'm talking about. Talk about the power of God living through you in such a powerful way that people come in and are saved. Into this atmosphere. When I walked out here this morning to preach, there's a good atmosphere or whatever, but there is such a heaviness. It's not here anymore. Someone comes in and Satan's on there and they say, this is just fanaticism. There's nothing to it. And there's so many devils around that they can feed into that thing. This is your church. This is your responsibility. Don't blame this. Don't put this all on the ministry. This is your responsibility. All I can do is preach. All Brother Jerry can do is preach. What you do with it is up to you. Don't want that. Not going to accept that. Makes me sick. He said, well, I belong to the church. That don't mean a bit more than if you belong to the rodeo. Not a bit. I go to Brother Jerry's church. So does the devil. He comes in every time we bring him in with us. That's why we sing. That's why we worship. It's to create an atmosphere. Drive those doubts and those demons back. So the word can come and have its preeminence. And we can accept it and believe. And God ministers to his bride. Here, I got something for you. Can you imagine? The very creator, he says, here, I got something for you. 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 Oh, you don't want it? Preach a little harder. Now do you want it? Preach a little harder. Okay, I'll take it. So why is everyone not up here right now? I am. Tell you why. Doubt. Because you're saying, well, I've tried before, Brother Phil, and it didn't work, so I'm just kind of I'm a little leery. You know, maybe I'll try again this time. You haven't heard a word I've said. Don't go out of here saying, well, I'm going to try, Brother Phil. I'm going to try again. There's no try. There's just do. It's not try. It's you believe. Don't try to believe. You just believe. Have you ever tried to believe? I'm going to try to believe that. Stop it. Is it true? Yes, then believe it. But there's no but either. You're making it too complicated. God said this to you today. I'm going to believe what he said. He said, I could be born again. Let's go eat lunch. Oh, but I got to go to the altar and I got to pound and I got. No, you don't. You need to go eat lunch. God said you could be born again, period. Believe that. And if you believe that, then you're going to say, well, I want to come back and hear what else he has to say to me. So I'm going to hear, I'm going to obey him when he says, come to church. Isn't that exciting? Oh, my. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Come in a mighty way and just convince these people. Speak. Let them know that you've spoken to their heart. Let them recognize the voice of God speaking to them. And walk in that faith. Before you go to bed tonight, Satan's going to have attacked you 1,000 different ways to try to get that seed that has been planted to rip it out of there. He's hacked away at that idol. He's hacked away and it's split open. And that word is coming down to touch that word in here and bring it to life. Before it can do that, if you allow Satan to take that and rip it out, you're going to be worse than you are than when you came to church this morning. And the next time he brings you to this place, it's going to be harder and harder. Don't you dare play church. Don't you dare play with God. Don't you dare go out of here thinking, well, okay, that was pretty good, Brother Phil. Maybe God will do something for me. No, he won't. There's no baby. I promise you he won't. You have a but, or you have a maybe, or you have an if. Don't even start. That's it, Brother Phil? I didn't feel anything. Good. Because I don't want your faith to be anchored in a feeling or an anointing or in a baptism. I want it to be anchored in God said this to me today. Because he builds his church on revelation, not an emotion, a feeling, or a baptism. Did God speak to you? It's up to you. I'm done. I'm happy. Because God has given everyone in here the opportunity to go into rapture. And it's not too late.
Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you would come care enough to speak to us, Lord, to bring a message, Lord, that would just drive the unbelief and the doubt away so that people would believe. This can be a tie post day where they put down that pole and say, I am from this day on going to believe this, what you have said. This can be the start, Lord. This can be the time when they recognize that all you ask them for is obey, do what I ask you to do. And they can determine in their heart, I'm going to do what God asked me to do. And when I have struggle, when I can't, how I do, when I can't sacrifice that, then I'm going to plead to God. I'm going to hold on to God until he gives me the strength. Because there are some idols that are too strong for our own will. God, you will make us miserable until we're ready. And then I ask, Lord, to strike each person with misery until they're ready to surrender. Let their life fall apart. If it's me, Lord, let it fall apart. Whatever it is, whatever we need, Lord, to humble ourselves, it's worth it, Lord. Oh, God, it's so worth it. Do what we need, Father. We ask you to minister this to us. You are the stone cutter. We're the stones. Have your way in our life. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Whatever it takes is a scary prayer. Have you ever prayed it from your heart? Whatever it takes, Lord. He said, are you sure? Because I'm going to take you at your word. Scares me. What if he takes this away? What if he does this? Whatever it takes. Because I don't want to stand there one day and he looks me in the eye and says, why? After I gave you the opportunity, why? Are you in this part of the judgment? Why did you not believe? Why did you not accept the medicine? I'd rather go through hell now. Go through them. You feel the same way? Amen. Come on. God bless you. I love you. You might not believe it.
Sing Let Go.